This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me tonight, Thursday, 7 p.m., to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gonsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and you can find me on Locker Room at StaceGots. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We will be recapping last night's 1-0 victory over the Rays. We'll be shining a spotlight on Gerrit Cole, and with good reason, because my goodness, he is having himself a season so far. We'll talk about all of his strikeouts from last night. We will talk about every stat that popped up last night after the win and how he's doing and what he's doing and how historical it is. We will be talking about the umpiring last night and all around the league. There are some issues happening and I have some thoughts. And we will preview tonight's game, Jameson Taillon against Rich Hill. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. That was some game last night. Honestly, Gerrit Cole is amazing. He's so much fun to watch. I say it every time he pitches, but it's true. I love when he gets pissed off at himself because he ends up victimizing the very next batter. Or sometimes he'll get mad at himself during a specific at bat because maybe he made it 3-2 when he wanted it to be, obviously, not 3-2 because he doesn't ever like to walk people. And you'll find out more about that later. But I just enjoy watching him. He's so intense. I won't say that I want 5 Gerrit Coles because that wouldn't be fair for any other team in baseball. But if we could have 2 Gerrit Coles, maybe 3, maybe 2.5 on the pitching staff, that would be amazing because he's just wow. He's everything Yankee fans wanted and more. He's exactly the ace that you would expect the Yankees to have. He's just amazing. He gave up 4 hits. One of them was frightening, and of course it was Randy Arozarena who hit it. It nearly went out. Thankfully, it bounced off the top of the wall. He made it to second, never scored. That was frightening. So yeah, Cole gave up 4 hits, didn't walk a batter, struck out 12. And this is a pattern because he has thrown 56 straight strikeouts since he last walked a batter. That is, I don't even know what to say. Overall, for the season, Gerrit Cole has 78 strikeouts to 3 walks. Those moments of silence were for you to think about that. 78 strikeouts to 3 walks. And the thing about last night was he seemed to get stronger as he went on. He was doing the whole Jacob deGrom thing where Jacob deGrom likes to uncork a 100-mile-an-hour pitch in his last inning of work. And Cole was doing the same thing. He didn't hit 100, but he was close. And it was just, again, he's so much fun to watch. I love it. I wish I could watch him 5 times a week. Now, on the offensive side, it took until the 7th inning for the Yankees to score a run for Cole, and I was getting slightly worried about that because, again, I'm always worried when they play the Rays, especially down in Tropicana Field, because there's always a chance of shenanigans. And I was worried that the game would stay tied 0-0 until the 9th or 10th, and then the Rays would score in a stupid way, and then Cole wouldn't even win the game. So, I guess I'm a fatalist in some respects, and a pessimist in most respects, but I've been like that my entire life. I can't help it. But thankfully, the Yankees got a couple of hits, and then Aaron Hicks hit a perfectly placed sack fly that scored Aaron Judge. That's all the Yankees needed. I was slightly disappointed that Cole didn't go the whole nine innings. He could have. He was at 106. His career high is 118. But I think Aaron Boone thought he didn't have anything left in the tank, that he gave it all, or he gave it his all in the eighth, and that he wouldn't have been able to replicate that in the ninth. And you bring in Aroldis Chapman, who's been perfect so far this season, which is amazing in itself. You know, aside from Cole being the strongest starter, it's obvious that Aroldis Chapman is the strongest reliever in the bullpen, and he's just been amazing. And it was a good combo last night. It rested the rest of the bullpen, who may have to be used tonight with Tyone on the mound, but you never know. We'll preview that later in the show. But overall, it felt like a playoff game because it was so close and so tight, and because of Cole's intensity on the mound. And given how the Rays have performed against the Yankees lately, this was the first series that the Yankees won in Tropicana Field since May 2019. Think about that. Remember how the Yankees used to beat on the Rays when they were the Devil Rays and it was just amusing to watch? Well, now it's kind of not the opposite. The Rays don't beat up on the Yankees, but they beat them consistently. At least now the season series is a little closer, because when this series started, it was 5-1 in favor of the Rays. Now it's 5-3, and the Yankees have a chance to pull within 5-4 tonight if they sweep. And I said this on yesterday's show, it's kind of amazing that the Yankees will have played the Rays at least 9 times before they see the Red Sox. But I also don't mind the schedule. I would much rather the Yankees have a front-loaded schedule against the Rays than have to play them down the stretch, head-to-head, especially if they're close in the standings. Although that could be the case for the Blue Jays. I honestly have not even really looked at the Yankees schedule this year because it's so long. And it's not as intense as, say, the NFL. There's a reason the NFL has a schedule show. It's a big deal. They release all the schedules because their season is so much shorter. And their games mean so much more because they don't play as much as baseball, where baseball's season is so long. We're still so far away from the end of baseball season, which is why I kept telling you all to stop panicking about the Yankees doing badly in April, because look at them now. They're 20-16, and they're going in the right direction, and they've been doing really well over their last 21 games. I believe they're 15-6. So, my point. Schedule. I don't really look at the baseball schedule. I'll look at it month to month to see how things are going, but I don't really look ahead until I have to. Because who cares about September right now, honestly? It's still May. In a moment, we will take a deep dive into Gerrit Cole's start against the Rays, and I will let you know all about those cool stats regarding his start so far in 2021. But first, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Obviously, with us, it's the Yankees and baseball. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Yankees once a week, and you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about MLB. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, which is what I usually do, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me, and you might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Yankees podcast through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join me tonight at 7 p.m. I'll be hosting a room in which we will be watching Jameson Taillon make his start. So go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at StaySkotts to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. Once more, I'm planning on being live tonight, and I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on how the Yankees have been doing the last 2 weeks, and hopefully Jameson Taillon will give us a good show. So see you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. If you own a car and you need a part for it, go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Before we go into Gerrit Cole's numbers, let's look at all the other numbers that I like to go through on Baseball Savant. Top exit velocity was from Stanton, not shocking, 116.7. Good Lord. Clint Frazier hit the farthest ball last night at 394. Aaron Hicks's sac fly went 329. And that hit by Randy Arozarena that was, you know, inches away from being a home run was 370. The top pitch velocity was from Aroldis Chapman. He hit 100.5. Gerrit Cole's top velocity was 99.4. He also hit 99.0 a few times. And swings and misses, Gerrit Cole had 24. That's unbelievable. Actually, okay, Ryan Yarbrough, Colin McHugh, Lewis Head, and Ryan Thompson, they all pitched for the Rays last night. They had 17 swings and misses between the four of them, and Gerrit Cole had 24. So the offense was frustrating to watch. They struck out 10 times, but there were a few hard-hit balls that were taken away from them. You know, balls that could have been hits, you know, line drives, double plays, stuff like that. But what was frustrating about the Yankees last night was they struck out 10 times, only walked once. And there are a few guys on the Rays that don't even throw the ball hard, which is what screws with the Yankees hitters a lot. They're not good against junky pitchers, and the Rays have plenty of those guys. Ryan Yarbrough is one of those guys. His fastball averages 86 miles an hour. How is he getting through the major leagues with a fastball that doesn't even touch 90? I don't understand that. Or maybe I do understand that. It's because he's throwing junk and guys are swinging through it. As for the Rays against the Yankees, obviously they had 12 strikeouts against Cole. They had one against Aroldis Chapman. So it was 13 strikeouts to zero walks, four hits. They left seven on base. The Yankees left nine on base. The Yankees were 0 for 3 with runners in scoring position. They didn't really have many runners in scoring position. And the Rays had, they were 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position. So it was one of those games. Again, felt like a playoff game. And while sometimes that's okay, I don't like that in May. So let's go through Gerrit Cole's pitches first. I'll tell you how they broke down, all that good stuff. So, 106 pitches, 48 of them were four-seam fastballs, and you'll find out why in a moment. 24 sliders, 19 changeups, 15 knuckle curves. Well, that goes against my whole they're throwing more changeups thing that I've been talking about. Well, some of the guys are throwing more changeups. Not Gerrit Cole, because his four-seam fastball is amazing. And again, you'll find out why. His max velocity on that four-seamer was 99.4. He averaged 96.8. That's amazing. His slider, 90.8. Average, 88.4. The changeup, 91.5. Average, 89.3. And the knuckle curve, 84.6 was his max. He averaged 82.6. That was on 15 pitches. So let's go through the strikeouts because this is amazing. We're going in order. Randy Arozarena was struck out on a slider in a four-pitch at-bat. It was 87.3 miles an hour, and it was a called strike. Brandon Lau, swinging strikeout on a four-seamer at 97.6 miles an hour. That was a six-pitch at-bat. Willie Adames, that poor guy, he struck out three times against Gerrit Cole. His first one, called strike, four-seamer, 97 miles an hour, three pitches. Brett Phillips also struck out three times against Gerrit Cole last night. His first strikeout was swinging, four-seam fastball, 97.2 miles an hour. He worked Cole into a six-pitch at-bat. Yandy Diaz was struck out on a slider, swinging at 89.8 miles an hour. That was a seven-pitch at-bat. I believe that was the longest at-bat against Cole last night. Adames again, swinging strikeout, this time on an 84.5 mile an hour knuckle curve. He got Cole to throw him five pitches that time. Brett Phillips, strikeout number two, this time a four-seamer at 96 miles an hour, or 96.5 miles an hour, swinging. That was a three-pitch at bat. Manuel Margot, strikeout swinging on a 99.0 mile an hour fastball, four seamer. He had six pitches in that at bat. Brandon Lau, for his second strikeout against Cole, got a changeup, the only changeup that Cole threw for strike three at 89.7 miles an hour. That was a six pitch at bat, again swinging. Mike Zunino was struck out on 88.9 mile per hour slider. It was a five pitch at bat, also swinging. Willy Adames' third strikeout of the game was a three pitch at bat. All three pitches were swung at. They were all four seamers, and the last one was 97.3 miles an hour. And Cole's last strikeout of the evening was against Brett Phillips. He threw that four seamer. Brett Phillips swung at it at 98.8 miles an hour, and that at bat was four pitches. So Cole is just, he's unbelievable, honestly. Again, he's so much fun to watch. He's so intense. He's so good at what he does, and I wish that some of his intensity would rub off on other Yankee starters. Jameson Taillon. Aroldis Chapman threw 15 pitches last night. 9 four-seam fastballs, 5 sliders, 1 splitter. He got 5 swings on the fastball, 2 on the slider, none on that splitter, because I believe that splitter was really outside. Was that the one pitch I remember being kind of off for him? But other than that, he looked lights out. Oh, back to Cole. Okay, so he generated 26 swings and 16 whiffs on his four-seam fastball. And as I just went through, he ended, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 of his 12 strikeouts were finished with that four-seam fastball. Only one with the changeup, one with the knuckle curve, a couple with the slider. So the four-seamer was working for him. They were swinging through it. The Rays are not hitting well this year. If you noticed last night when all these guys were coming up to bat, their averages were low. At one point, Brandon Lau was pissy with Bill Miller, which understandable because, again, his strike zone was atrocious. But I just thought it was funny because Brandon Lau at that point in the game was batting 193. And I always remember years ago when batting average was more important. Not that 193, I mean, you don't want to be batting 193 no matter how batting average is looked upon now and how it's not the be-all, end-all. You know what I mean? You still don't want to be batting under the or below the interstate. That's not anything you want to do. But I had it in my brain. It's kind of an old school baseball fan way of thinking. At first I thought, he has nerve complaining about the strike zone when he's only batting 193. And speaking of the strike zone, we will get into that in segment 3. I have some thoughts about Bill Miller's job last night. And there were other problems around the league. I will let you know about that. But first, have you heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy meets the stock market. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. It's a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, and they just added baseball to their platform, so check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two, good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you like, just like the stock market, then watch your players battle and your portfolio rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at Sports Trade and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the game at sportstrade.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Speaking of the playoffs, the Knicks clinched a playoff spot for the first time since 2013, so if you want to bet on the Knicks or bet against them, your choice, head to the website or use your mobile device. You can sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I nearly forgot about the stats I wanted to tell you about Gerrit Cole. Good God, I got on a tangent and then completely forgot. Most games in a season with 12 plus strikeouts, 0 runs, 0 walks. Gerrit Cole has 3 so far in 2021. Keep that in mind because it's only May 13th right now. Pedro Martinez of the 2000 Red Sox had 3 that entire season. Sandy Koufax, 1965 Dodgers, had 3 that entire season. Gerrit Cole now has 172 strikeouts in 20 games as a Yankee, which is tied with Ron Guidry for the most strikeouts in any 20-game span in Yankees history. Guidry did that in 78. Gerrit Cole became the second fastest pitcher to reach 1,500, I almost said 15,000, that would be amazing, 1,500 strikeouts. The guy who beat him, I guess, to that stat, Randy Johnson did it in 206 games. Gerrit Cole did it in 212 games. Steven Strasburg, 213. Roger Clemens, 216. Clayton Kershaw, 218. Very good company. Gerrit Cole now has 5 games with at least 10 strikeouts and 0 walks this season. That's the most for any pitcher in a season in the Yankees' history. Think about all the pitchers that the Yankees have had, Hall of Famers, that they've had in their history that Gerrit Cole is outperforming. This is the stat that just, I nearly fell off my chair. After his 12K zero walk performance on Wednesday night, Gerrit Cole has struck out 56 batters since his last walk. That matches the longest stretch in a single season by any pitcher since the mound was moved to its current distance in 1893. Holy hell.
I don't know about you all, but I was very frustrated watching last night's game, mainly because home plate umpire Bill Miller was all over the place. He was calling balls that were never in the strike zone as strikes. That's one of my most frustrating things about umpires sometimes. It's one thing if a ball kind of crosses, goes across the strike zone, but ends up out of the strike zone and they still call it a strike. You can kind of see them or see why they would do that. But there were some instances last night where these balls were nowhere near the strike zone and he was calling them as strikes. And he was doing it for Gerrit Cole and for the Rays pitchers, although I felt like he was doing it more for the Rays pitchers, but I'm biased. Anyway, I mean, Gerrit Cole was legitimately striking these guys out. But I just, my God, it was so bad. And what made me laugh about it was, as frustrated as I was noticing that people who were watching other games around the league were just as frustrated with their home plate umpires. For instance, people watching the A's take on the Red Sox at Fenway were frustrated with home plate umpire Ryan Wills, who I've never heard of, so maybe he's a new guy. You know, you have the usual suspects who are horrible at their job, like, you know, Angel Hernandez. And he's not even horrible. He has a better reputation behind the plate than he does when he's at first base. But he's still not that great behind the plate. And you have guys like Laz Diaz and Joe West. And you shouldn't know umpires' names, honestly. You shouldn't know who any of these guys are. But a lot of them like to make themselves part of the game. Bill Miller did that last night when he ejected Clint Frazier. I have no idea what Clint Frazier said to him. I will say that strike 3 on Clint Frazier was a strike, but I think he was frustrated about earlier calls in the at-bat and maybe even his previous at-bat. So what struck me was he wasn't heated. He kind of turned around, said something to Miller, and Miller threw him out right away. I don't know if Miller was frustrated because he was hearing things from other batters up to that point. I know even Giancarlo Stanton said something to Miller. Stanton doesn't usually do that with the umpires, so you know that an umpire is bad if he's saying something. Now, the game turned in the Yankees' favor, thank goodness, but if Bill Miller had played a big part in the Yankees losing last night, I would have been a lot angrier. But baseball has to do something about this. They really do. I know everyone jokes about robot umpires, and I don't think that that's the solution, but I think there needs to be some sort of system, like a checks and balances system, that makes sure that these guys are calling balls and strikes correctly, or more correctly, because my goodness, as I was saying, some of those balls never hit the strike zone. And as I said in the earlier segment of the show, the camera behind the plate in Tropicana Field is directly behind the plate. You're not to the left or the right, so you're getting a nearly perfect view of the strike zone. So you're seeing just how badly Bill Miller was doing his job last night. I know some people don't like the K-Zone because of that reason, because it makes people more angry when they realize how awful umpires can be. But it also feels as if they're getting worse. And I don't understand why that's happening. Maybe Rob Manfred should look into why some of the umpires are so horrible at their job instead of putting a runner on second base in extra innings. No, I will never shut up about that stupid rule as long as it's implemented. So before we end the show, let's preview tonight's matchup between Jameson Taillon and Rich Hill. Taillon has only faced the Rays once before in his career, and that was 4 years ago when he was with the Pirates. He threw 6 1/3 scoreless innings in that game. It would be nice if he could repeat that tonight in the season. I wish it was the season finale. Series finale. Rich Hill had a rough start to his season, but he's been on a roll lately. He's allowed 2 runs in 15 innings over his last 3 outings, including a scoreless 6-inning start in Oakland last Friday night. The last time he faced the Yankees, he struck out 7 in 6 innings in a win on April 19th. As for the Yankees against Rich Hill, DJ LeMahieu has the most at-bats against him. 15, and he's batting .333 with a run batted in. Aaron Hicks has only faced him 4 times, but he has a home run and 3 runs batted in those 4 at-bats. So, should be an interesting matchup. I will be on Locker Room tonight for a watch party if you'd like to join me. I'd like to say that we have fun on those Locker Room chats. A few weeks ago when the Yankees were playing the Tigers, we had a Tigers fan in there with us, and I kind of felt bad for him because he was a tick ahead of me. And anytime the Yankees did anything, like hit a home run, you could hear him groan. So I would know that the Yankees did something good. So again, join me on Locker Room tonight around 7 p.m. We'll watch the game together. We can discuss things. You don't have to talk out loud if you don't want to. You can always use the chat function. But if you would like to speak with the rest of us, I will activate your mic. Just keep it clean. That's all I ask. So for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.